Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Avi K is a business and a finance analyst. He is well known to Chai FM. He had a business and finance show on Chai FM 101.9. He lives in Israel. He was in fact celebrating the engagement of his son last night, so a very, very big mazel tov to him and the family when the sirens started going off. We wanted to check in with him to hear what it was like on the ground. Avi, a very, very good morning to you. Firstly, mazel tov to you and the family.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the warm wishes. Great to be on your show.
So just take us through. Well, you've recently gone to live in Israel. You did so in the middle of COVID. It certainly hasn't been an uneventful Aliyah.
No, it certainly hasn't been an uneventful Aliyah. Just very briefly, you know, I certainly had these images of arriving at the airport and there's this entourage to welcome you and there are the flags and there's Havana Gila and all these wonderful, you know, things happening, and that didn't happen. We arrived at the 4 o'clock in the morning and we were shunted off to a side airport. Remember, this is the 22nd of December. And we were quickly put on a bus and then taken to a hotel, and we were just left in the hotel for 2 weeks. But in hindsight, it was good. It gave us time just to calm down and relax. Everybody was panicked. Everybody was trying to limit the danger of COVID as much as they could. But from there, it was just smooth sailing. We got our inoculations very quickly and very efficiently and very easily. The absorption center here in Moli Inn is just incredible. Really holds your hand through the process. And looking back, coming in during lockdown was a positive thing because the roads were quiet, the malls were empty, and we didn't have to jostle for position. It was a lot easier to sort of get by in those early days. So that allowed us to acclimatize, also to spend time with our children because the community is incredibly welcoming. But no one was inviting, so our children rather came to us, and we had a really great time being able to spend time like that and to acclimatize. But yes, it's 4.5 months down the line, maybe 5 months, I suppose, down the line, and we're part of the fabric of society now. And yes, yesterday was an interesting day, a bittersweet day, as they say.
So tell us about it.
So, you know, we were very privileged that we knew our son was going to propose, and it's our first child to get engaged, so we weren't quite sure how the process works. And again, the difference between the customs in South Africa, again, the beauty of it about the South African community is it's just homogenous. Everything's similar. Everything, you know the ropes.
Absolutely.
Over here, we don't know anything. But again, I was just in touch with the right people and, you know, helped us with the process. And we met them in the Herzliya Yacht Basin as they came back in after he had proposed. And there was the phone calls and everything on the side of the ocean. And then we went to get something to eat. And as we sat down and had ordered, the siren went off. And I was a bit shocked. I was expecting something always in the back of your mind. But as it happened, I looked up. And there was almost an immediate reaction. Everybody got up, very efficient, in a sense of urgency, but no panic and no rush. And everybody just walked to the door. There wasn't a bottleneck at the door to get out. Everybody filed out. The manager was standing there showing you where to go.
I was just going
to
ask, how do you even know? You know, you're in a restaurant. You don't go into a restaurant thinking, where's the bomb shelter?
100%. And I just followed the crowd, and everybody walked in. And it was just smooth. It was almost as it had been rehearsed, like we used to do in school, like, you know, the fire calls, whatever, the roll.
And fire drills,
everybody just went in there, the fire drills, and everybody just stood in the underground passage of the building. And then you could just hear the explosions outside. And it was like boom, 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 literally like that. And it just goes on and on and on. I can't be accurate whether there were 10, there were 20, or there were 5. To me, it was just an incredible sense of, I'm here, and this is really, really happening. And I'm not a tourist, and I'm not dreaming this. This is where I live. This is my country. Everybody standing here with me are siblings. Might have different surnames, might come from different parts of the world, but we're all siblings standing here, and we're all united in this terrible, terrible moment. just like we were united 10 minutes before in great simcha. And that's really what it was. We stood there, there was no panic, there was no pandemonium. People were getting heated and there was a little bit of emotion running, but that's it. And then everybody filed out and the restaurant said they're closing, and we all got in our cars and we went home. But again, before we left, both my wife and myself had received messages on WhatsApp from the different Ulpan that we go to, what to do if you're at home, if you're in the car, if you're on the bus, and it's all clear and efficient. And the overwhelming sense was a sense of cohesion, that there's no panic, we're going to do the right thing, and everybody's just going to comply. And then we came home. Instead of a restaurant meal, we had some cereal, and we went to sleep.
What was the drive? 3 o'clock. What was the drive like on the way home? That must have been, to some extent, a little bit more uncomfortable.
You know how when you're on a long holiday, and these days with GPSs, and you start like watching the kilometers, 100, 98, 97. I was watching Waze all the way home, like kilometer down. And then we got home, but there was no panic on the road. And we went to sleep, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, we both shot up, and we heard the booms, the siren went. And we came downstairs to the Mahmad, which is the strong room, and we just were there. But again, you have to go through a routine. You come in, there's a steel door that needs to be closed, there's a window that's got a steel shutter that needs to be pulled across, which was actually stuck. And my wife said to me, please, and I, you know, put Q20 on, which I bought from South Africa, and I've got it working, so I've done that. And then we just stayed there for about half an hour. We went back to sleep. But this morning, when I went to shul, there was an eerie silence on the roads. It was very, very quiet. And I went to a later minyan. I didn't go to 6:30. I went to a 7 o'clock minyan, which is pretty late for Israeli standards, for those who go to work. And they waited for a minyan. You know, only at 5 past 7 did the 10th person arrive. And then I realized as I was davening that there's a school across the road and it's very quiet. And at the end of davening, I turned around to something. Yeah. I said, is there no school today? He said, no, schools have been closed. And I came home, and as I'm speaking to you now, I'm looking out the window, looking over a view of the beautiful Judean hills, and there's not no one on the roads. The roads are quiet. There's no one running. There's no kids walking to school. There's the sense of, we're just going to, you know, hunker down and just be safe for now. And that's the feeling that I'm getting. The news, I almost feel like I'm living in a different country, because thank God nothing fell. No one over here got hurt. But Ashkelon, Ashdod, Lod, it's been quite serious. Yerushalayim, thank God it's been quiet. But both of us have children in the country, and we're anxious. I have one son who lives down south, literally 600 meters, as I said yesterday on the radio, from the Gaza border. And we were just thankful that he wasn't there, and he was up north working. But having said that, it's almost selfish to say such a thing, because there's other children there. There's other parents whose children are right there. There's people who live there. People are asking me, what's about your sons in the army? And I said, thank God my one son just came out of the army. The other son hasn't been called up from the UN yet. Right. The other son's still training. And I say that with a sense of irresponsibility and selfishness, because there are many parents sitting where I'm sitting whose sons are gearing up for a possible ground offensive. Please God, it should not come. And being here, you just realize, as Rabbi Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein is famous for saying, Ki'esh echad
b'lev echad. Yeah, absolutely.
Over here, you really, really feel it. Is that when a soldier's back getting ready to go into Gaza, and again, please God, it should never happen. It's not a soldier. It's my son. It's your son. Absolutely. It's anybody's son. And that's the sense that we have over here. Those people who were injured, those people unfortunately passed away, they're everybody's family, and it's a tragedy for everybody. And again, those people across the border are also suffering. the civilians who have been killed, the buildings that have been destroyed, infrastructure that's being pummeled.
Yeah. So sad and pointless, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Yep.
I'm not giving you a political overview. I just want to give you my own personal feeling from where I sit right here.
And unfortunately, that's all we have time for. That is where I have to leave it.
Perfect.
Avi, in fact, has a show on Achai FM every Tuesday at 12. It's called Avi on Business. Make sure to listen in for that. I wish you safety. I wish you a mazel tov for the engagement, on the engagement of your son, and just stay safe.